This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. The decision to file jointly for a married couple may seem simple, but it turns out it's not always to your advantage. For instance, if you or your spouse have significant itemized deductions, you might want to file separately. So in this case, as in many decisions, it pays to dispassionately consider all data and crunch the numbers. We humans, though, aren't known for our cold-blooded, rational decision-making skills. Quite the opposite, in fact. My guests, Chip and Dan Heath, want to change all that. The Heath brothers' new book is Decisive: How to Make Better Choices in Life and Work. Welcome to Marketplace Money, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Conventional wisdom says that before you make a decision, you should sit down and make a list of pros and cons. But you say that is all wrong. Just throws me off right from the start.
Well, the pros and cons list is a good way of setting up a situation where you've got potentially one option that you're doing thumbs up, thumbs down on. And good decision-making starts with having multiple options available to you. Good decision-making involves collecting information that may contradict your initial opinions, but you can sit at home with your pros and cons list and come up with a beautiful justification for whatever you wanted to do in the first place. And so what we're trying to do is widen out the process of making a good decision.
One of the classic villains of decision-making is what psychologists call narrow framing, and it's this temptation we have to get stuck in thinking about our decisions in a whether or not frame, whether or not I should buy this iPad or whether or not I should quit my job. And what the research tells us is if we can just generate another option, just one or two, it greatly increases the chance we're going to make a good decision. And so with something like retirement, we just can't let ourselves get stuck in this mentality of saying, you know, should I save or not?
Okay, well, let's take that example of retirement, and let's say you've widened your options and you're looking at three or four plans. I'll sell the house. I'll live in an RV. I'll invest in a house with three or four other dear friends to retire with. You get to that point, and then you're stuck. So what next?
Here's where one of the most important principles of decision-making comes in, and that is we're always wise to trust the experience of other people over our own intuitions. So, for instance, if you're thinking about where you're going to go out to dinner tonight, you might be wise enough to go onto Yelp and look at the reviews and trust the place that has 100 good reviews over your own judgment about which menu looks good. But what's fascinating to Chip and me is when it comes to people's portfolios, they totally throw that logic out the window. So, for instance, most people have their money in a portfolio of stocks and mutual funds. And the reality is, what we know from the research is that millions of people have reviewed mutual funds and stock picking and found it sorely lacking. There was a study of mutual fund performance over a 20-year period, and they looked at every single mutual fund that had more than $100 million in assets under management. Well, only 4% of those funds outperformed a simple, boring index fund like the Vanguard 500. Now, to keep that in perspective, 4%, if you're playing blackjack and the dealer deals you two face cards and your inner idiot shouts, "Hit me," you've actually got an 8% chance of winning that hand. And so one thing we can learn with our decisions is let's start trusting the actual experience of other people over our own instincts.
So this is all by way of saying that humans are irrational. We go about decision-making in irrational ways, and these are techniques to keep that in check.
Yeah, I think if you think about decision-making, there's a mental spotlight that we have that's really good at focusing on the option that's in front of us. Whatever's in our mental spotlight is more prominent. And what the book is a series of tips about how you move that mental spotlight around to consider other options, to consider information that's not consistent with your initial hypothesis, to look at the future in a non-rosy way and consider what might go very wrong or what might go very right.
Well, one of the biggest problems in making any decision is being swayed by your emotions. You know, you see that gorgeous midnight blue Mercedes on a car lot and you just can't tear yourself away, even though you know you can only afford a Nissan. Now, you guys write that one effective technique is to get some emotional distance from your decision, or distance at all. How do you do that? The Mercedes is right there.
Part of being a good decision maker is knowing when not to trust yourself. So, you know, if I was on a diet, for instance, and some colleagues of mine were going out to a pizza buffet for lunch, there's just no way I'm going on that trip with them because I don't trust myself to make a good decision in that environment. often the best thing we can do, especially when it comes to something like saving for retirement, is get out of that emotional melee and create some distance. So for instance, there are a lot of progressive employers these days who have done something brilliant for their employees, and they've set up what I'll call a triple default system for retirement, where a new employee comes in, they're auto-enrolled in the 401k program. They don't have to do anything. And their funds are auto-invested in what's called a target date fund, which creates an appropriate allocation of a portfolio given their age. And they are auto-escalated, which is what it's called when each year that amount that they're investing ratchets up a little bit to keep pace with their raises and the cost of living adjustments. And what's so beautiful about this is it allows people to make good decisions without making good decisions. And it's so much better than the opposite, which is this trap people fall into of tracking their investments on a daily basis, and you follow the stocks up and down, and you start to panic when they dip, and you start to sell too soon when they rise.
So it's like a personal finance way of staying away from temptation, the temptation to blow the money on something else.
Precisely. And, you know, in a weird way, the best retirement strategy may be ignorance is bliss, that we should just get the defaults right and stop paying so much attention.
Dan Heath is a senior fellow at Duke University's Center for the Advancement of Social Entrepreneurship. Chip Heath is a professor at the Graduate School of Business at Stanford University. Their new book is Decisive: How to Make Better Choices in Life and Work. And I'm so glad we decided to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.